With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Message is, and I want you guys to take note, we're going to start a series today. And this series that God has given me is going to be compartmentalized. So if you missed first week, don't worry. You're going to be able to catch up because each message in this series is going to be independent, okay? But the truths do build upon each other. And the title of this series is See God in You. Say, see God in you. Now, see God in me. Yeah. And the truth is, the more that you see God in you, the less you'll struggle with sin. The more you see God in you, the more powerful in prayer you will become. The more that you see God in you, the cares of this world will grow strangely dim. Amen. The more that you see God in you, fear will begin to disappear. The more that you see God in you, faith will begin to grow. The more you see God in you, the peace that passes understanding will become a reality in your life. The more that you see God in you, your mortal body will stop fighting you and it'll get in line with the kingdom. The more that you see God in you, you will be strengthened by the joy of seeing Him in you. Can you say amen? But you know, it's hard to see God in us when we can't see God in others. Now, it may be easy for you to see God in Pastor Nija. It may be easy for you to see God in maybe somebody on the TV that you respect, in Joyce Myers or maybe Joel Osteen or whoever. Maybe it's easy for you to see God in people that are distant from you and you only get a quick snapshot of their day, 15-minute, 20-minute program out of 7 days out of the week. But the truth is, God is in you in the same manner that He is in all of those people I just spoke about. The same God that anointed Moses to do the miracles that brought those out of captivity in Egypt is the God that's inside of you. The same God that anointed Elijah and Elijah and Nathan the prophet and David the king is the same God that is inside of you. You didn't get the Iowa version. You didn't get the Des Moines version. You didn't get the Latin version. You didn't get the African American version. You didn't get the cracker version. You got all of God. And so that's going to be the journey that we're going to take, is trying by the anointing and by the Word of God to bring the reality of who you have become into the visionary person of your inner being. The Apostle Paul prayed this. He said, I'm in prayer again, laboring in prayer over you, that Christ may be formed in you. So now listen, when the church that he was speaking of was born again, Christ was deposited in them. Do you understand? So it's not like that the Apostle Paul was praying that out of this goopity goop spirit inside of him that you know, God would form a nose and an eyes and you'd have a little seven-inch Jesus inside of you. He was praying that you would be able to clearly see Christ in you. And so the forming was the eyes of your understanding. Come on. See, you're not going to see Christ in anything. You're not going to see Jesus. You're not going to see God in anything unless you look through the eyes of faith to the eyes of your by the eyes of your understanding. You don't use these two globes right here to see God in the universe. We may begin that way, but then we begin to see through the lenses of faith, but we're not seeing with our natural eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. Can you say amen? And some people struggle with this because most of the people in this world and a lot of people in the church, they see the natural things as being more real than the spiritual things. And the truth of the matter is that everything that you see is held together because of God's Spirit and His Word. And without the Spirit of God, nothing would exist. Because it's by faith that we believe that God created, this is in Hebrews chapter 11, everything that we see out of nothing. It's by faith that we understand that creation and this earth and the sun and the moon were created by God's command out of nothing. See, God created the heavenlies, and I'm not talking about the stars. I'm talking about heaven. But in this creation, it was formed out of absolutely nothing. So if you're a natural person, then you're going to believe more in the chair that you're sitting on than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're a natural, hello, you guys are not natural people, but you are spiritual people because you've been born of God. Amen. And so therefore, we're trying to form Christ in you, but you have to understand where you're going to look from. You're not going to look from your natural eyes. If you're a natural man or woman, then you will look at the balance in your checkbook to determine whether or not you're going to make it. Instead of looking at the Word and the provision that was already placed before the foundation, before the creation of this world, God put provision here for you to tap into. Hello. And He can make something out of nothing. God can make something out of nothing. So that's why he doesn't mind if you take 5,000 people out into the wilderness and you preach to them all day, because he knows he could take two small fish and multiply them. If that weren't there, he could still make something. So as we go through this journey, we want to form Christ inside of you. Now hold on, He's already there. But if you don't believe He's there, if you think that it has to do, whether He's in there or not, whether it has to do with whether you feel anointed or not, well, you're slipping into naturality. You're slipping into being natural. Come on. Whether you feel Him or not, He's in you. Praise the Lord. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, He is in you. And where you walk, God walks. And when you're anointed by God, and I'm not talking about a feeling, when you're speaking the truth out of your spirit through your mind, come on, into this world, then creative miracles will happen. When you do that, things around you will begin to change. This isn't spooky. This is Bible 101. You believe that what you see, not with your natural eyes. And we've been trained that way. But if you believe what you see with your spiritual eyes, then you speak something out of God and create things out of nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're forming Christ, the mind of God, within you. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's begin in the beginning. Because first, if we're going to see God in you, if you're going to see God in you, you need to see God in others. You need to see God in Jesus. You need to see God in the Word. But first, let's start where most people are at. Let's see God in creation. Let's see God in creation. Genesis chapter 1. So this particular message is see God in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 31. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it. Somebody read it to me. Holy. because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. God created the heavens and the earth. He, what does it say in your Bible? He spoke. He spoke it. He said, let there be light. Let the firmaments be separated. Let there be animals. Let there be plants. And he spoke it. Everybody say, speak. Speaking is not a natural thing in the kingdom of God. Speaking is a spiritual thing. And with our words, we tear down. And with our words, we build. And with our words, we kill. And with our words, we bring life. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Your tongue is the rudder of your life. So if you want to have a spiritual life, learn how to speak out of our spirit. God created them male and female, the Word of God says in chapter 2. He created them in His image. And God was a speaking spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, God is love. God lives in an unapproachable light. He produces that kind of light. He is the origin of life. God. Now, when we're talking about God in this way, and in Hebrews it says that by faith we understand that the world was formed by God's command, that what was made out of nothing. All right. Can you put that in a test tube and reproduce it? No, you can't. If you could, you wouldn't need faith. Because that element of not knowing how, that element of not being able to reproduce it every single time, that has to be present for you to have faith. That is trusting in something that you cannot see. But in creation, God has left something for you and for me. Amen. God created all things on this earth for Him. Did God create it for Him? No, He's a spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, the name for God is Elohim. And that's plural. It speaks of the Trinity already in creation. And so God spoke, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, and the Word Jesus created. Jesus created all things. The command of His Father. Amen. And you've got to see God in creation. And if you ever sit at night we were out on the beach, and it's totally different than being in the city. And you look out over the oceans and you see the stars in the sky, they're a little more brilliant. They're a little more, they stand out just a wee bit more. But I've been in the jungles in Africa on safari after crusades, and I've looked up where there's no electricity and no lights for hundreds of miles, and you look up and the sky is lit up better than any Christmas display ever could be. And it literally speaks to my spirit. It speaks to my soul. It's the Bible. The Bible talks about God's creation speaking to you. And so in creation, when you look at the stars of the sky and you see them, it's very hard to deny God. Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? Can I see your hand, please? Anybody besides me? Wow, we're going to take a trip. When you look at the Grand Canyon, something happens to you. Because it's such a cavity, such a hole. And it's not just the colors of the clay that changes and the dirt and the rocks and the river down below. But it just looks like a little thread down there. It's so far down there. But you walk up to it and you're like, how can this hole exist? When I looked at the Grand Canyon, I said to myself, God must be. When I was 17 years old, I had the privilege, I had done some work in memorizing some kind of birds or ducks and stuff like that, and I was privileged to go on a hike through the Grand Tetons and the Rockies. It was the first time I ever saw mountains, personally, and had the privilege of going up over the peaks. It was beautiful, but when I saw the mountains for the first time, I mean, I'm used to Iowa, I'm used to Nebraska, you know, flatland, and you get out there and you see... You see this, it just goes on and on and on and on. And then I remember I really appreciated the Tetons, which is not the same as the Rockies. And then we went to the Rockies, and I didn't like those so much because the Rockies were kind of smooth, okay? But the Grand Tetons, they were jagged. There were sharper lines. And I found out that the Tetons are still rising like a foot every year. Still, hold on. The mountains are still going up. Praise the Lord. And I looked at that and I said, there has to be a God. And then Pastor Needs and I on our mission trips, you know, in Costa Rica and Guatemala and Nicaragua and those kind of places, and we see, oh my goodness, the flowers are just, I mean, we think you go to a florist and you see flowers, you need to be out in the jungle. You need to go on a trip, you know, down by the waterfalls and take the paths that go up. And you see, flowers that are shades of yellow I can't describe. Flowers that are brighter than this shirt. It looks like it has a battery. It must have a battery or some kind of neon running through it to make it look that way. And then the smells are so completely different. And you look at the variety of the flowers and I say to myself, there must be a God. And then you look up and you see this huge wild parrot with wings almost 6 feet in a span. And he flies over your head and he's colored bright red and he's got long streaming tails, kind of like what you see on a dragon, you know, in Chinatown as they're dancing with the firecrackers. And you see that fly across and you go, my goodness, there must be a God. And then we take a trip on a canoe and we're looking at that. In a canoe now, and we're looking at the alligators, and she's screaming, and because they're coming toward us, and I look over on the edge, and I see this lizard. They call him a Jesus lizard, and this lizard comes up, and the alligator just goes by, and he runs across the river, atop the top of it. That's why he's called the Jesus lizard. Oh my goodness, sir, there must be a God. And in the middle of Africa, my first day on safari, I'm staying at the Presidential Reserve, 500 square miles. And the guy who's in charge of all of the, what we would call Department of Natural Resources, he's my guide and the guys that are with me. Bill Tweed from Oskaloosa went with me. And we just got done having a beautiful crusade, seeing the city changed. And we come out to, we see God do miracles, signs and wonders in the people. But we come out to the place where the president has a camp, more like a palace. And we get in there and we say, I want to go out. We want to go out. How many hours do we got before sunset? He said, we've got a little bit. I'll take you someplace. And we go out. We get into the jungle a little bit. And he says, stops. And he pulls out his pistol from his side. And he says, come with me. I'm like, oh, crap. And we turn him around the corner and there, from me to the back wall, is a huge bull elephant. I'm talking huge. I'm talking his ears are about the size of this doorway behind me. And he puts them puppies out like this, and you know, it doesn't take anybody interpreting. That means you're in trouble. But here's the thing. I was there, didn't see him. I came around a tree, and all of a sudden, it's just like he jumped out of the forest, even though he was standing still. And I look at that creature and I said, my goodness, there must be a God. Anybody that spends time in creation has a closeness toward the Creator. And that's why you'll hear people say, oh, I'm closest to God when I'm on the water fishing. Well, that's probably true, except for Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I'm closest to God when I'm sitting in a tree with my bow and arrow hunting deer. Well, that's probably true. You sense something about God because he left his fingerprints all over creation. He left his DNA within creation. When you look at the stars in the sky and you look at the smallest things, like a beetle that's brightly colored, and yeah, it has this neon kind of a yellow and red, but then a kind of a metallic look to his wings that are green. And you go, my goodness. Yeah. And you go, my goodness. My goodness. Creation was made for God's children. All of it. He didn't just make one kind of butterfly. He made thousands of varieties. When I was a kid, I used to try and capture monarchs, and I tried to do a butterfly collection, and there's just so many different butterflies, and trying to identify them back then without the internet was kind of a task. But when we went to Costa Rica and we were in the jungle, they said, "You see that fly?" I mean, it was like a bird flew across, this blue thing. And he said, "That's worth $400 if you can catch that." People buy those for $400. The most beautiful looking butterfly I've ever seen in my life. God didn't create one orange butterfly. He created many colors, many sizes, and many patterns for your enjoyment. For your enjoyment. For you. Because in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created, and then he gave the male and the female dominion over everything that he had created. He gave them authority over everything that he created. He told them to subdue it. Not to conquer it, but to tend to it. This is yours. This is my gift to you. And it still is his gift to humanity. Can you say amen? Don't worry, I'm not going green. Isaiah chapter 40, would you turn there? Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to begin in verse 10. If you can see God in creation, every time you look at something spectacular, something that brings awe into you, something that incredible, it's just so... it has so much magnitude to it, or so much detail in the small things. And you see those things, you know where you can see God? On the Discovery Channel. You know where you can see God? On the Animal Planet Channel. You know where you can see God? In the National Geographic Channel or the magazine. God created everything for you and for me. You know, when we've got these bushes that we've got planted over here, and they're green all year long, but you know in the fall they turn this beautiful color of red? He did that for us. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, when we have seasons up here and the leaves change, you know, they just don't all turn Dorito orange, do they? There's multiple colors, and they change at different times, and the season lasts, and it makes an impression in you because there are seasons in God, and he wants to celebrate that. He did that for you. He could have just had the leaves drop off the tree. And you just get, you know, one day it's green, and the next day you just got sticks. But he didn't do it. He did that for you and for me. Because he wanted his family to enjoy creation. Maybe you need to remember that God is a spirit and he doesn't need matter. He doesn't need natural things. He's a spirit. He doesn't even, his existence is not tied to this creation. But this creation is tied to his existence. Because if he ceases to be, this will cease to be and so will you. Because in God we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 10 says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and rules with his mighty arm. See the reward that is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flocks like a shepherd. And he gathers his lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance?" Guys, God is big. He's beyond your imagination. But because you were made from the dust, part of you was made from the dust of the earth. Your flesh, your bone, come on, that was made from the dust of this earth so that you could commune with the earth. Hello, I don't mean worship. I mean that you can go out and enjoy creation. See, you were made in his image, a spirit. Praise the Lord. Whether you're male or female. You were made a spirit and you've been given a body. And when you put those two together and the breath of God comes, the life comes from the seed. And when life comes, you have a living soul. That's something to celebrate because we are a triune being just like God is a triune being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have a body, you have a soul, but you are a spirit. Can you say amen? God made you from, and you know, that's, I'm just so glad we aren't all peachy colored. Come on. I'm glad we all don't have blue eyes. You know, we're all different because we have been created from this earth. God loves variety, diversity. God loves differences. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. God has the ability to measure the water in the oceans. Now, I'll tell you a story. When I was 26 years old, I had a 40-acre piece of land in southern Iowa. I had a great big 5-acre pond right behind the house. I mean, this 5-acre pond was full of bass and channel cat and crappie. Praise the Lord, had me a good time. But one day, I was burning the weeds around my barn shed thing. I had my motorcycle inside there. I had my tractor inside there. I had my unicycle in there. I had my bicycle in there. I had lots of toys inside there, but I wanted to tend to the farm, so I was burning the leaves and the weeds around because it was springtime. Thought it was a good idea, but then what happened was it got really close to the building, but it had metal on the outside of the building. So I said, "Oh, that'll be okay." I didn't realize that the wood was right behind the old dry wood that was probably 30 years old was right behind that metal, and so as I was blowing out and taking it, making sure that it didn't get too hot next to the building, I didn't know that it crept underneath and got a hold of the wood. And so I'm out there all by myself. I'm out in the country. I don't have a fire hydrant. It's too far to hose from the house. Besides, I didn't have much water pressure out there anyway. So what did I do? I got a 5-gallon bucket, and I ran down to my pond, and I took a dip out of it, and I ran back up, and I did that for nearly an hour. And finally, somebody drove by and called the fire department. But you know, as many buckets of water as I toiled over, that pond didn't go down a bit. That pond, the level of the pond didn't change. You take a 5-gallon bucket out of a bathtub, that's something. But you take a 5-gallon bucket out of a big pond, you won't even notice it, will you? And God has the ability. That's hard for me to imagine how much water is in a normal pond. If I were going to measure it, how much water would it be? Would it be 5 gallons? Would it be 5 billion gallons? I have no idea. My mind can't compute that. But God knows how much water is in the ocean because He created it. He gave it its boundaries. He spoke and He said, "You won't pass this point. Your normal point is right here." Come on, the sky was full of water. And God said, "Let's separate that." And He did. He did that with a command. And so when water falls out of the sky, you may understand how it happens. But if you've ever jumped out, I have jumped out of an airplane through a cloud and got wet. When you do that and you're dry on the top side and you're saying, "Oh boy, is this going to feel like a pillow? What's it?" And you go through and you come out and you're wet. You know, 2 seconds later, and you see sun again, and you go, "What the? Why doesn't that stuff fall out of the sky?" That makes me say, there's a God. The way that the water comes up out of the earth, and it gets absorbed in, and then as it gets colder, it begins to form into clouds, and then when that gets cold enough, not heavy enough, it falls, and sometimes it turns into snow, sometimes it turns into sleet, sometimes it turns into rain, sometimes it's hail. God did that. Are you guys still here? Turn to Psalms chapter 8. Say, "I want to see God." I want you to see God in you. You're not going to see Him with your natural eyes. Hey, listen, you may see God in Joyce Myers, but can you see God in your husband? Come on. You may see God in John Brevere, but can you see God in your wife? Especially when she wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And she's still night wife, not day wife. Can you see God inside of her? Huh? But see, it takes faith to see God in your children. It takes faith to see God in your husband. It takes faith to see God in your mother-in-law. A whole lot of faith sometimes to see God in your mother-in-law. But God is in her. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels, and yet you crowned them with glory and honor. You made them ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and animals of the wild and birds of the sky and fish in the sea. All that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Psalms verse 8. It goes on in Hebrews. It says that angels look at you and they want to know what is it about you that God would put you over them and over creation. You know why? See, they don't understand how God can be in you, because they're created beings too. They don't understand, they can't perceive, comprehend that God is in you. They look at creation and they have this wonder. You look at creation and it should give you a wonder, an awe, a sign that God is. Yet with all of that awe and all of that wonder, God sets you over it. He sets you over every star in the heaven. He sets you over every grain of sand on the beach. God is in you. Creation, it brings about something inside of you. It's like the deep calling to deep, and you look at it and you can't explain it, but something on the inside of you says, yes, yes. You know, when you look at the stars in the sky, how many of you ever tried to count the stars? Come on, I did. I have. You know, every star that you see, you know, that's a sun. And around every sun is a solar system or a universe. So around our sun, we have how many planets are they saying now? Because they're still discovering them. Come on, somebody. Nine. There's nine planets around our sun. But every star that you see, there could be 9 to 100 million planets around those stars. Everybody say space. We have such a finite ability to understand. Without the eyes of faith and the eyes of our understanding, we have such a small capacity in our natural selves. Our spiritual selves is full of ability. But our natural ability is so small that, guys, check this out, okay? The best that we could do is we looked out on this. Whoa, look at all those lights. Oh, my gosh, look at the distance from the moon to the sun. Wow, we saw that when we were on the beach, the moon and the sun at the same time. Wow, look at the distance. That's about the breadth of the earth. And you're looking at this, and the best that we could come up with is, let's call it space. Because there's a lot of space up there. You ever thought about it? That, I mean, I think I would call it the woo woo wah wah doogie burger or something. You know, give it some syllables. The best one, the space. But here's what's amazing about what God created in space. In the solar system, there are 3 billion solar systems just in the Milky Way. Do you guys know what a Milky Way is? It's not the candy bar. It's that thing that looks like a strip of light across the sky at night. That's the Milky Way. And just in that, there are 3 billion that they know of solar systems. We live in one. Imagine God causing all of this to be out of one command.
light be. And it was. Imagine light existing where there was none, suddenly, boom, a big bang. No, it was a big word. Should I say that again? It wasn't a big bang, it was a big word. And the lights came on and matter existed where it didn't before. Imagine the possibilities on all of those planets ordained by God. Amazing. And the universe itself, what we call space, is expanding still today at the speed of light. Because when God creates, it doesn't stop. When God creates, it continues. So I want you to begin to understand this, not with your natural minds, because you've got to get down in your spirit. Space as we know it, the galaxies, the universe, there is an edge to it right now. There's not like you look at the earth and you say it's flat, because what is that edge? Is on this side, it's what has been created. On that side is what's going to be created, because the universe is, listen, it's expanding at the speed of light. It is creating at the speed of light. You don't believe me? Google it. God spoke and that word is still creating. God created a man and a woman and they fell into sin, yet we are still creating. God put a plant on the ground and it is still creating through seed, time, and harvest, because that's the way God does things. Space is expanding at the speed of light. There is an edge to it, and I believe with all my heart, right on the edge of that is heaven. Because heaven is not in this creation, the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. When you look at the sky and you think about everything that you see expanding faster than your flashlight can hit a tree, it'll make you think, wow, there's a God. And you look at that and scientists have begun to understand the dynamics and how things are put together and the pattern which God has done it. And then they look at the smallest things on the earth. What's the smallest thing that you know of on the earth? What's the smallest thing that you know? It's an atom, right? Well, an atom now, they find out, is made up of what? Protons and neutrons. They come together in a nucleus. And then electrons, actually, matter is made up of protons and neutrons, positive and negative charged things, and they cluster together, right? And then they got this stuff going around it called, it's electricity. It's literally electricity going around it. And that's what makes up what you're sitting on. That's what makes up your fingernail. That's what makes up this wood. That's what makes up a plant. Are you hearing me? And for some reason, it looks a lot like the universe. Because the pattern that is in the universe is the same pattern that's in the microverse. Now, we thought atoms were a big deal 50 years ago. But we're expanding with technology. Now we know more about electrons and neutrons and protons. And there's this thing called, guess what it's called? It's called the God particle. Because scientists have known for years, as soon as they found the electron and the proton and the neutrons, they said, that makes up what you're sitting on, that makes up the floor, that makes up this building, makes up everything in creation. Scientists said, there's something else. We can tell there's something else in there, but we don't know what it is. We can't identify it, but we know it's there, so they called it the God particle. And scientists don't like that very much because it says God must be. So they created this thing in Europe, and it's a 13-mile basic tube underneath the ground where they're smashing atoms together to try and bring out this, I think it's called the something Hicks, the Boson Hicks or something like that. And you know what? In 2015, scientists have identified the God molecule, the God particle. And it's not made up of what we think matter should be made up, something you can touch, proton, electron. It's actually made up of something completely different. And they're still trying to nail it down. But here's what they did find out, that this God particle is the essence of all creation. And when that thing comes into life, when that thing is created, let's say manifest, when they do this, and it takes a 13-mile tube for them to smash these two atoms going, you know, multiples,
thousands upon thousands of miles, bam, and it hit. And then it creates this God particle. But the God particle degenerates very quickly. It decays into something scientists call dark matter. So now that we've got this incredible ability in science to look at creation, the best they can come up with is there's God who is light and there is darkness. And everything is created by the light, but when it decays, it becomes darkness. And when you look at creation, you're looking at the smallest things that we can possibly see, that we can possibly identify. And it's the same pattern as what happens to you and I. When we have the light of God in us, we produce and we can move and we're vivid. But when the life of God comes out of us, what happens? We decay and we go back to the creation where we came from. Our physical bodies do. In God, we live and we move. And we have our being. All things are held together by His Spirit through His powerful Word, the Bible says. When you get down to this idea of protons and electrons, hello, and neutrons, and those electrons are spinning around that, and it comes down to the God matter, which is light. Do you know there's a vibration that causes that, which is much like what comes out of you when you speak the Word? God's Word is so powerful that when He spoke it, it is still creating the universe at the speed of light. When God's Word comes out of your mouth and it's mixed with faith, it'll do the same thing. Genesis chapter 3, would you turn there? So what's wrong with this earth? What's wrong with this creation that God gave us? Well, God gave it to Adam and Eve, and Adam done messed it up. He sinned. Exactly what you would have done if you were there. Adam wasn't. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. This is after Adam had sinned, after he partook of the fruit, after he ate and stole from God. God created the whole universe. He said, there's one tree. It's not like God needed the fruit from that tree. That was His tithe. And Adam ate from his tithe. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. To Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Nija? Because you listened to your wife more than you listen to me. That's really what he's saying. Because you put the wants of your wife over my wants. Because you put the desire of your wife over my desires. Because you listened to her and beckoned to what she desired more than you did my word. That's really what it is. Sometimes your wife can have some pretty good advice. But because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit of the tree, which I commanded you, you must not eat from. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. Everybody say dust.
Yes.
When God created Adam and Eve, I want you to know something. He didn't create them to die. He created them to live. See, Jesus came into the earth to not only destroy the works of the devil, which is sin, but He came to give you life and give it more abundantly. Listen, scientists can't figure out why that God particle begins to degenerate as soon as it manifests. Scientists can't figure out, because they look at your body, doctors look at your body, scientists look at your body, and it's all set up to continually reproduce yourself over and over again. Not like a carbon copy that gets weaker and weaker, but to reproduce itself in its best state. But something happens to the body that it doesn't work right. And as we age now, because we're in an earth that is under a curse, when we begin to reproduce, we're not reproducing the same quality that God made your body reproduce. I don't know if you know this, but God made you with such precision that every cell in your body will be completely changed 7 years from today. You may have a scar on your body, but that scar will not be made up of the same tissue or the cell level that it is today. Your body is reproducing that scar. Every cell in your body today did not exist 7 years ago in your body. And that lines up with the year of Jubilee. God made you wonderfully. Marvelously He made you. He made you to live and to reign, not to die and to suffer. I want you to see something very clearly in this scripture. God did not curse the earth. So when you hear about this and you say, well, God put a curse on the earth. No, He didn't. He blessed the earth. Who cursed the earth? Right here. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. Who's He speaking to? He's speaking to Adam. When Adam brought the dominion and authority that he had been given over creation by God, and he bowed down to the will of Satan and ate from that tree, he gave up the authority to his new Lord. Now, he didn't know he was doing that, but that's exactly what happened. And so Adam just had to tend to the garden. Now the earth is cursed. And God says, listen, you're going to die if you don't work. Because you're living in a ground that is cursed. You're living in a creation now that is subjected to the devil who kills and steals and destroys. And so from now on, you're only going to eat by the sweat of your brow. That is the curse of the fall. But God didn't do it. He was identifying what had happened. Can you say amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We live in a fallen world. We live on an earth and creation that is under a curse. It didn't want the curse. It has a call from God to produce. It has a call from God to thrive. It has a call from God to serve you. The earth does. And it knows it because it's been programmed to do it. Can you see God in creation? Can you see God in creation? If you can see God in you, you can begin to walk above the curse. You don't have to walk in the curse. You walk above it. When you walk by His Word and you walk by faith and you walk in love, that three-corded strand which will not be broken, when you walk by faith and you walk by the light of His Word and you walk in love, come on, that hits every part of who you are. You can walk above this curse. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Yes, you see the foliage in the fall. And God is testifying to your natural man that He's real. You come around the corner and all of a sudden you see this giant elephant. God is testifying to your natural mind through your natural eyes that He exists and He is. You get something underneath the microscope and you see it begin to divide and to multiply. And God is testifying through your natural eyes to your natural brain that He is and He exists. Men are without excuse because when they walk out on the beach at night and they look up the stars, God is saying, here I am. Come to me. Go to Romans chapter 8. The God that created all of those things, if you're born again, lives in you. Let me say that again because I think it just went over your head. It just felt like it did. The God that created all of those, everything that you see, lives in you. You've been born in His image. Jesus is the firstborn over creation. That's what the Bible says. Now, you know, there was the first Adam, and he's the second Adam. But Jesus is the first one that was born again over creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He rose from the dead, being born again, so that he has dominion over creation. Hello, what have you been born of? By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The old is gone, and the new has come. You have been born over creation. Not to abuse it, but to cause it to thrive into the kingdom of God. Romans, wow! I don't know if you're getting this, but I am. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. I could run right now. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time today. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of God's Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption to sonship. That's the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently. Now stop right there. Jesus was born again into and over creation. Now, he walked on the earth with God in him, and God was upon him. But everything that he did as a man. Come on. He gave us the example of how we are to live. Now, he doesn't need faith like he did. Do you understand? He's been born again. Over his body has been redeemed. It's been glorified, the scripture says. Walls don't mean anything to him. Time doesn't mean anything to him. Food doesn't mean much to him. Come on, are you getting the picture? He rules over his body because it's been glorified. The only thing that we don't have right now is our bodies have not been glorified. But the Bible says right there in chapter 8, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he will give the God kind of life even to your mortal bodies. It's a process for us. And daily, we're renewed by the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Daily, that we take victory over the situation around us. We're not waiting for God to rescue us. We're trying to get God out of us. Come on, to permeate our flesh and to begin to change this environment around us. But that won't happen until you see Christ in you. And he's being formed right now at these words. Verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How's that possible? Because he lives in you. How's that possible? Because he put his love within our hearts. He walks with you. He communes with you. He talks with you. So that you're no longer, you live in it. You're subject to creation, but you're not governed by it. See, if Christ is formed in you, you can see him clearly. As you're walking, he's walking. As you're talking, he's talking. As you're communing, you're talking to God. He's talking to you. He's sharing his ideas, his thoughts, his desires for you. And when it gets in your heart, when it's formed, it comes out of your mouth, then creation is transformed. Creation begins to change. It comes from the inside out. Can you see God in creation? You, every time you look at a tree, that God's in me. Every time you see the stars, that God's in me. Every time you see something like the Grand Canyons or the Grand Tetons, you say, God is in me. The one that created this is in me. Nothing can come between me and him. And there's nothing that is impossible for me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I can take this back
with Him. Amen. The universe, the ground, the plants, the insects, created for you by Him. Fear over natural disasters, come on now. That's not of God. Fear that a tornado is going to take your house, that's not of God. Fear that some wild animal is going to jump out of the jungle and eat you, that's not of God. Creation is meant to serve the Creator. Creation is meant to please the Creator. Creation is meant to help the Creator. Creation was manifested by the command of God out of nothing with you and me in mind. Can you get that in your heart? When you see a bird of a different color, do you think God is in me? He created that. He's in me. When you see a star fall out of the sky, you say, man, God created that. And He's in me. When you see the storm clouds begin to gather, and you look at it and you begin to, wow, and fear starts to creep up, you say, hey, no. God created all of this, and storm, you will not touch my house. Sudden disaster and calamity won't come near me. Why? Because God is in me. Creation serves the Creator. When it comes to sickness and disease, hey, that's in this created world. In the name of Jesus, I won't have any of that in my household. Hey, when I get attacked, I'm going to come against it because God is in me. And the very life and the nature of God that is in me will transform even my flesh and the flesh of those around me. If you say amen, would you bow your head with me for a minute? Father, give them a breath of the Spirit so the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Let them see through their spiritual eyes and bring it up to understanding how great and marvelous you are. With all of the things that you have put in motion and have begun in creation, your prize is man. At the top of your creation is your sons and your daughters. And Father, we know there are those out there that have not been redeemed, that are still under the curse, that are still being tormented, that still have no hope. They have fear in them. And Father, we know that life, peace, and joy comes through Jesus. You dwell within us. So if there are those that are here this morning that need to make Jesus the Lord of their life so God's Spirit can come inside of you, I want to pray for you. But if you're here this morning and you have backslid, you've run from God, and you know you need to make things right with Him, I want to pray for you too. There's no pride in here. There's no pride here. Nobody's looking around. If your relationship with God is not right, you'll know it. Because right now, your heart is going thumping, thumping. You got a cold spot in your stomach because you think I'm going to point you out. I'm not going to point you out. He already has. If that's you and you want to make things right with God through Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand for me? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Will you put your hand on your hearts with me, will you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for making things right. Thank you for your blood that washes our sin. Thank you for your Spirit that quickens us and makes us whole with you. Let's say this together. Father, I see you in creation. I see you in everything on the earth. And I say, wow. I want to serve you, Lord.
Jesus be the Lord of my life. Continue to wash my sins away. Fill me with your Spirit and your life. I receive you today. I serve you. Teach me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we seal this covenant. You're in us and we're in you. We are one. We're your children. We're your sons. We're your daughters. We're going to start walking like it. We're going to start talking like it. We're going to take our place. Even the earth is longing for us to take our place. So we'll take our place over ourselves, over creation, for your kingdom and its glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.